I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Wednesday, and that means I'm here with Joy Behar. This is Behind the Table. Hello, Joy Behar. How are you?
I'm okay. I've survived the fire. I survived the eclipse. I've survived the earthquake. I'm still here.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It does seem like at any moment the world's going to...
It's a trifecta of disasters.
The world's going to open up and swallow us. I feel like this is because we've got a vacation coming up in a couple weeks, and whenever that happens, things start to, like, you know, endanger us.
Another conspiracy theory that goes nowhere.
Yeah, well, I just feel like God doesn't want me to have an easy run to the vacation. So I feel like there's always something, some stumbling blocks that appear towards the end. All right, but I do think that today, of course, now let me preface this by saying nobody was harmed.
No, nobody was harmed.
Everybody was okay, and we're grateful for that. But given that the topics are somewhat repetitive this morning.
Oh.
I didn't hate that we had something to talk about when the fire alarm went off.
Well, but that's the choice that goes on in this show. We don't have to pick the repetitive topics, but we do constantly now.
Well, there are important things that need to be talked about, of course.
And 4 days on abortion?
Well, 3 days on abortion. But yes, it's only Wednesday. But of course, but it's important. As you always say, it's a woman's show.
It is an important issue. But, you know, it's going to go on till November. So we could skip a few days or a few weeks on the topic. It's going to be every day.
No, but of course, for someone who is desperate to poke holes in the armor that is Donald Trump, this is a pretty good topic for you to be talking about.
I know, because I think that it's a winning topic for the election, not necessarily for the show.
No, but for the show, we had a fire.
we need to inform women out there of what's going to happen to them if he gets in.
Exactly. Exactly. But today, so we have...
And not just him, by the way.
Yes.
While I'm on the topic.
All right.
It's also Congress. Mm-hmm. We need to have a blue wave in all three houses. All three. The executive, the legislative, and the judicial.
Yeah. But today, so just to set the stage for people, we're sitting in the Hot Topics meeting and suddenly alarms start going off, lights start blaring.
Yeah.
Not the first time it's happened in a Hot Topics meeting, but the first time it was fire related. And what did you think when that happened?
I thought when that used to happen, when I was in school, I used to be able to get the day off.
You did bring that up pretty quickly. Throw a repeat on. I think you said within seconds of the alarm going off. But no, I thought I was actually kind of impressed. We were all very mature and orderly.
There were no flames. You just smell something. You're like, we're so used.
Smoke.
You know what? I'm in New York City. I am so used to walking down every block and smelling skunk weed. That it just was like, oh, I see, it was a couple of smoke things. That's it.
No, but this felt like something was going on. I was a little nervous, but it turned out okay. Then we're out on the street, all of you, which was quite a sight to be seen.
Right.
And then we all made it over to our other offices, like kind of where the production offices are, which I don't think you've ever been there before.
Of course I have.
For those offices?
Yes.
I didn't think you had. Yeah. All right. Well, in any case, you were exploring our trash bins a little bit today.
I found two gigantic books on Frank Sinatra.
Look at that.
That one is called The Voice. The other is called The Chairman. And, you know, there's a book by Pete Hamill called Why Sinatra Matters.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very interesting character in the 20th century pop culture. You know? And it wasn't just his singing. It was his whole lifestyle, his political incorrectness, his anti-racism. People don't know this about him. You know, Lena Horne and people like that. The most beautiful, more talented singer, because she was black, was not allowed to stay in the hotels where she was performing. And Sinatra and Dean Martin said, no, we will not stay either. People need to know that.
Well, listen, I know you enjoy an estate sale. I know you enjoy a garage sale.
Yeah.
But now we just come by the office and do a little dumpster diving and you get some good stuff.
And then I found a View mug with at least four people who are no longer with us.
Yes.
Their faces on the View mug.
It's one of the
a collectible.
It's one of the rare View mugs, yes. I think.
You know what's amazing is that I'm on every mug.
I know.
Except when they fired me those 2 years. Remember when I got sacked? Was there a mug?
I don't know. I'll have to find the answer.
That would be a collectible.
I've never seen a mug that had Whoopi, Rosie, and Rosie, and Nicole Wallace. So maybe there isn't one.
That was a very acrimonious year, and therefore they didn't even take a picture.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's a few mugs that like came out and quickly were taken off shelves for various reasons. But the one you got today was a good one. That was actually my first mug. That was season 19.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That was your return mug.
That was my return mug, yeah.
I saw, not to get people talking, because, you know, people are very interested in these mugs, but I saw I've approved a layout for next year's mug, and it looks pretty good. Yeah.
Is it a cartoon?
There's it's kind of it's got
like
you guys
the cartoon
on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's still the real pictures.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right.
You'll enjoy it. It's fun. Today you said if you had to write an angry letter to someone, you would write it to your late fourth grade teacher because he called you a Brillo head.
Well, there were a couple of teachers.
Yeah.
He's not the only one, but he did. He called me Brillo head.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a teacher? And I was like a kid, a child. And his name was Frischer, Mr. Frischer. And he was funny, actually. But to call me Brillo head. And then I'd say, yeah, well, you're Mr. Fishcakes. That's what best I could come up with. Well, I was always a little comedian. And you see how you know, ballsy I was. I was a child, and I went up against the teacher.
I got locked in a closet for talking too much. By my fifth grade teacher. That actually happened.
Yeah. See, that's abusive.
I think so, too.
You don't put a child in a closet.
No, I was not.
I had another teacher I had when I was in the first or second grade. I couldn't tell time. If I had just waited another 100 years, I could have had a digital clock. But I could not understand how you did that. And she was not teaching it to me in any way that I could figure out. And I was so distressed by that I told my mother I was sick every morning. I can't go, Mommy. I'm so sick. And she took me to every doctor. Weeks this went on.
Right.
And I didn't go back to school because of that. People need to understand that children are very, very delicate.
And sensitive.
And sensitive. And they don't like it when they're failing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't tell the time, well, then maybe they need a little extra time, or somebody needs to teach them in a different way.
Did you struggle at school ever? I mean, you're so smart.
This was the worst period right there.
Right. Well, that's a complex thing that doesn't really follow any logic, the way clocks work.
But my brain does not work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not good with, I don't know where I'm going half the time. The only place that I have an excellent geographical acuity is in Bloomingdale's.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly which department is where.
Really? I can drop you anywhere in Bloomingdale's and you'll know exactly where
yes,
to go.
Yes.
All right. Well, if there's a zombie apocalypse and we're stuck somewhere like that, I'll look for you at Bloomingdale's.
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We did this Scrabble topic.
I play Scrabble every day.
You do. It's one of the reasons we picked it today, because you're a big Scrabble
but
person.
But I rebelled against it. I thought it was a dumb topic. But anyway.
I know.
So I play against the machine. I play against the computer.
Yes.
I don't want to play with people because they take too long. And by the way, if they're not in the same room with you, they could look up words.
Yes, they definitely can. I mean, I've tried to play you a couple times online and you're not interested.
No, I'm not. It takes too long for people. They sit there for hours staring at what they have to do. quick.
Yeah. I mean, so I've always, I don't know if I said this on the air before, but one of the ways I can tell what kind of mood you're in is when I'm watching you play Scrabble on your phone. I stand behind you in the meeting and I see while we're all talking about things, you're playing Scrabble on your phone.
I can do two things at once.
I don't doubt it. But the words that you pick will tell me what your mood is. Like if it's like if they're rage filled words, it's going to be a day.
That is so crazy.
It's true.
Well, I'm a big game person, not physical games.
Right.
I don't do like tennis or any of that.
Yeah.
But I have to do the New York Times crossword puzzle every day.
Yes.
And I was in the puzzle on Sunday. Did you see?
I didn't. Oh, that's great.
What Behar. Was the they're like vowels.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I've been in there before, but not on Sunday. That was a biggie. And Sherry Shepherd's in today.
Oh, that's fun.
And The View. It says Shepherd from The View.
Oh, wow.
It's Sherry, yeah.
Well, if...
I love Sherry.
If Will is listening, it's T-E-T-A. T-E-T-A. Anyway, Will Shorts.
Will Shorts, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite thing is when I see you guys on a Jeopardy clue. That's really cool, too. I think those are like the iconic places to be.
I've been on a Jeopardy clue, too.
You have, yeah.
Well, after 27 years.
So I'm closer to Sonny with the board game thing. At my home, we do the family game nights. My wife thinks I should... like let the children win a little bit. I don't do that at all. I think it's
I was raised exactly like that. They always let me win.
No, why? Why let them win?
The only one who wouldn't let any of the kids win was my Aunt Rose.
Uh-huh.
She was like, and she didn't have any children. And neither did the other side, as a matter of fact. No one had children. I was the only child in the family for 7 years.
And no one let you win except?
They always let me win. But as I got a little bit old, there were other children came in after 7 years. And they would play, and my Aunt Rose would never let the kid win. And the other aunts, Aunt Julie and Aunt Sadie, who were really the most precious, you know, they would say to her, let the kid win. No, why should I, she'd say. The kid is 5 years old. No, but they can play. If they can play, they can lose.
When they beat you, when you finally beat her, though, didn't it feel like a real win? I mean, or maybe you never beat her. But I feel like if they
I didn't know that they were doing that.
Oh, okay. What were you playing?
My uncle Tony used to like to play Michigan Rummy.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. So you're getting it early. We did a lot
Monopoly when I was a kid against two girlfriends. And then that was very, very tricky.
Mm-hmm. So what bothers me about Monopoly, so no one in my family will ever play Monopoly with me because apparently I get very intense about it. But at the same time, people want to beat me so badly that they work against their own interest.
Yeah.
They won't make deals because it might help me or I might – the idea that I suggest something is a mistake. So
well, that's part of the game.
Yeah, of course.
You know, my grandson is good at it. He figured out when he was very young, 4 or 5 years old, let's play with him. That you buy up everything.
Everything. You never,
I'd say to him, that's not a good property over there on the Vermont Avenue, whatever it is over there, Baltic.
Mm-hmm.
I want it. And he realized immediately as a child that the minute you get that $200 and you have that whole side, you can win the game.
Exactly. No, that's right. Listen, no one ever went broke buying real estate. This is good, except for Donald Trump.
That's a good point. Yeah. He's not only does he lose at real estate, he bankrupts casinos. It is unheard of.
I know.
In the world of casinos.
I know.
I play blackjack.
I do.
And never do I leave there with money. Hardly ever.
No, it's very...
Because even when I win, I give it back.
Yeah, of course, because you never want to lose.
The house wins, okay?
House
except
for
Donald Trump owns it.
I used to play Pochino with my grandmother. You ever play Pochino?
No.
No, I thought it was an Italian thing, but it's interesting. All right. Anyway, we have a listener question for you. It's from Sandra in Canada. She heard the last episode about your grandson going to see Drake and asks... why did you decide to go by Nana instead of Nona?
Oh, well, my mother was called Nana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My cousin Antonia's kids all call her Nona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to choose pretty early on what you want to be.
I just thought Nana sounded like, I don't know. I'd never even thought of Nona.
Yeah.
But my husband, he called him Nono.
Oh, okay.
So Nana and Nono. It should have been Nona and No-No. No-No Nanette.
In my family, we have on my wife's side, it's Nana and Pops.
Yeah.
And on my side, it's Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah. Well, some people don't even like to be called Grandma.
It's got a connotation to it, but I think that I'll be Grandma.
His other grandma was called Grammy, like after the Grammys.
Yes.
I see. He could have called me Emmy in that case.
I think you'll like this. So I've been married for 20 years. I've gone through the 20 years never referring to my in-laws as any pronoun or any pronoun or name or anything.
Really?
Yes, because I when I first met them, they said, call me Steve and Gail. That were their names. And I didn't feel comfortable calling them. They're adults. I wanted to be respectful.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that. And then they said, you know, when we got married, it could be mom and dad. But that felt weird to me, too.
They're not your mother and father.
No. So I've never called them anything in 20 years. It's pretty hard to do.
So how do you refer to them when you...
Hey, good to see you. How are things?
Well, what about when you're referring to them? when you say to your wife, what do you say, Steve's
What's
coming
going on
over?
With your folks? How's your dad
your
doing?
Folks.
How's your mom doing?
Yeah,
I did that. It's kind of tricky, but now I'm kind of proud of it.
You know something, it's one of the more interesting things about you.
You think so?
Yeah.
That feels like a shot, Troy. I'm worried if like something drops from the, I have to yell like, hey, look out. And I can't do it. They're lovely people. All right. We have a listener call for you from Sherry. I don't think it's Shepherd, but let's listen.
Hi, Brian. My name is Sherry. I live in Los Angeles, and I have watched every episode of The View, and I listen to every Behind the Table podcast. I love it all.
Oh, my God.
My question for you today is, I was watching The View this morning, and I believe that Joy walked out wearing two different color shoes. One was black, and one was either white or beige. So I want to know, did they leave them in the dressing room? Did she forget to put on the right shoes? What is going on? Because Joy is a smart cookie, and I know she wouldn't do that. Thank you. Bye.
Very nice call from Sherry.
Yes.
She's watched every single episode.
And listened to every episode of the podcast, more importantly.
You know, it's one thing to say I've watched every episode of I Love Lucy.
Yes.
But this that was finite. This is 27 years.
We're coming up on 6,000 episodes in July.
I mean, good for Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the answer. Fran Taylor and I made a bet. She's our stylist and she's brilliant at it. I don't know how she does it. But anyway, she said, nobody sees your shoes on this show anymore mm-hmm. because we used to sit on the couch.
Right.
Nobody sees your shoes. I said, they do see it and they like seeing the shoes. No one sees them. I said, well, I'm going to put two different colors on and we're going to do a test.
Mm-hmm.
And this call from this woman shows you that I was right.
You won.
Yes.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. All right, see? No, Fran, of course, wants everyone to see what you guys are wearing because you look
she
so does. Great.
She works
so hard on
hard.
It. Yes. But I think people actually do pay quite a bit of attention to what you guys are wearing.
Yeah, they do.
And I usually find one of you to pick on in the morning because I don't understand outfits or fashion at all.
I find a joke on almost every outfit every day. They're either Little House on the Prairie or Whoopi is into like cow milking with these outfits lately.
I really like the overalls. You know,
yeah,
I think they're
fine.
Cute. Yeah.
They're very cute on her. But, you know, I feel like saying, you know, milk, where's the cow? And Sonny is dressed for the Emmys and the Oscars every day.
Right. That's pretty good. Alyssa, what do you got?
Alyssa, Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. All right.
And Navarro, I don't know. She's normal. I
missed an opportunity because last week I was making fun of Sarah because she was wearing some sort of cow print. And if she was doing that next to Whoopi in the overalls, we missed a huge moment there.
Was I not on the show?
You might not have been. You would have noticed it.
Well, yesterday, I think a couple of days ago, Sarah had some kind of doodads on her. It looked like part of the eclipse.
Yes, that's right. You put the glasses on to look directly at it. I laughed at that.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Sure. Thank you for joining me, Joy. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Sarah Haynes. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from me or a co-host, check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. And thank you for listening. Oh, and on Friday, we have on the show one of the posts from your mug that you found, Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, Candace is coming on.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there we go. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.